How many of you know somebody that's in heaven? How many of you know somebody really close that's in heaven? The older you get, the more beautiful heaven seems. The closer we get, the more beautiful it is. Amen. Thank you for that, Miss Christine. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I say this every time, but I think it's actually going to happen tonight. I'll be quick. I won't be very long. I don't plan on being very long tonight. I should be fairly quick. I usually take about 20 minutes in Sunday school, and this is a Sunday school lesson. So I'm just going to hopefully take about 20 minutes tonight. It may be a little bit longer than that. We'll see. I told Brother Bingham if I start rambling to wave at me and I'll stop. Not that quick, Brother Bingham. Between Brother Bingham and Matthew and Brett calling me tonight, Brother Bingham didn't, but between Brother Bingham waving at me and Matthew and Brother Brett calling me tonight, I might be really long. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1, we'll read through verse 8 tonight. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Let's pray and we will get started this evening. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the heaven that awaits us, Lord. Just thank you for that. Lord, just ask that you'd give me wisdom tonight. Give me the words to speak. Help me to just speak. Help me to be silent and let you speak through me tonight, Lord. And just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak tonight a little bit on wisdom. It is amazing to me, looking through Scripture, how much God wants us to have wisdom. And this verse, verse 8, is where my text is tonight, wherein he hath abounded toward us in wisdom. The fact that he abounds toward us in wisdom is amazing. Especially when you look around today, right? Look around, you look around you, look, we look around us, and the lack of wisdom is mind-boggling. It really is. The craziness around us, the wickedness that is around us is just amazing. But the exact opposite of that is the willingness that God has toward us to have wisdom, and yet no one has it, right? So I want to take a look just at a few things about wisdom this evening, and we will be done, and Lillian's not in here. I can say this. We'll go get ice cream after we're done. If I say that, she will hold my feet to the fire. No kidding. So there are a couple things that I want to look at some of the things that godly wisdom is. And I want our young people to have wisdom. There is the lack of wisdom in young people today is scary. The lack of wisdom in people my age, myself included, is scary. It's scary to see how little wisdom the world has, and even how little wisdom even today is in many of our churches. It's not there. So how do we... James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm kind of scatterbrained tonight. I'm a little everywhere. So forgive me for that. But James chapter 1. The Bible teaches us that we have to ask for wisdom. We have to ask for it. James chapter 1. You guys know this verse. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men how? Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I tell you what, The fact that God is willing to give wisdom liberally, if we ask for it. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you ever, Lord, give me wisdom, and just walk on through your day? It's kind of flippant, right? I think God wants us to really ask for wisdom. If Lillian walks up to me and says, Daddy, can I have a dollar? And then turns around and walks away, guess what? She's not getting it. If she walks up to me and says, Daddy, can I have a dollar, please? Probably not. What do you want it for? Well, and I didn't even think of something good, but if she wanted something decent, right, she might get a dollar. She'll have to get it through Cash App or something, because I don't have a dollar on me. So, too bad, kid. No, but, the way we ask for God's wisdom, I think, has a big determining factor on how he gives it. Just that flippant, I need wisdom today, Lord, and just kind of forgetting about it through the day, doesn't do us a whole lot of good. But God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But if I'm getting all messed up here tonight. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I looked up that word upbraideth. Anybody know what that means? The teenagers probably do, because we've talked to it. JR's already raising his hand. It's that attitude of Brother Bingham. He's asking for wisdom. I'm not giving him wisdom. That guy's a knucklehead. That's not what God does. That's not what God does, right? That's what upbraiding is. That's what upbraiding is. That's the example. He's waving his hand at me now. God does not upbraid. He doesn't mock. He doesn't criticize. He doesn't make fun of us when we ask for wisdom. You know, God, when we ask for wisdom and we're sincere and we really want that wisdom in our lives, it pleases him. And for him to give us the wisdom and for us to turn around and use that wisdom in a way that we should is pleasing to him. So the more we ask, the more we desire that wisdom, the more willing he's going to be to give it, the more and the more liberally he will give. So no, I don't feel that way about Brother Bingham. He's a nice guy. He's a pretty decent guy. But wisdom's got to be requested. We have to ask for it. And you know, that's part of, I think that's part of the problem with the lack of wisdom, is that people just don't ask. We don't ask. We don't sit down and say, Lord, I've got a big day today. I really need your help. I need wisdom making the decisions that I've got to make today. We don't take the time to really ask. We take that time to really ask. God wants to give it. We've just got to be genuine. We've got to ask. Number two, godly wisdom, James chapter 3, godly wisdom has certain characteristics. This I thought was very interesting. We got to looking into it and thinking about it, praying about it. And there's all kinds of wisdom today, right? We go to work, and we look for wisdom at work, don't we? A lot of people look for wisdom at work. Have marriage problems, and you go talk to the buddies at work. Man, my wife really got on my nerves today. And you know what the buddy at work's going to say? Well, you just need to put your hand down and tell her how it's going to be. And that's not exactly godly wisdom, right? It's going to get you in a whole lot more trouble when you get home. I promise. It's going to cause trouble. But we look in the wrong places for wisdom, and we get a worldly wisdom based on where we're looking for that wisdom. Godly wisdom has certain characteristics. Look at James chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We took some time and walked through these in Sunday school, and I'm not going to do that tonight, but Look, when we ask for wisdom, the wisdom that we get from the Lord is going to have a certain character to it. There are going to be certain things about the wisdom that we get from God that are going to be completely different from any other kind of wisdom that we get, right? God's wisdom is going to be pure. Oops, I just lost my notes. They're there. God's wisdom is going to be pure. God's wisdom is going to be peaceful. It's going to be gentle. It's going to have these characteristics. It's going to have good fruits. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Very good. I heard a few people saying them. God's wisdom is going to have those good fruits embedded into it. It's awful to watch a young person making decisions. It's awful to watch middle-aged people making decisions. And it's just as bad watching old people make decisions that are not wise. Sometimes our own selfishness gets in the way, and we look at what I want, and it just sounds good. And we bypass a lot of these godly characteristics that wisdom have, and we completely miss God's plan because we weren't paying attention to what was wise and what was not. Number three, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Wisdom is being aware of your surroundings. Wisdom is being aware of your surroundings. Circumspectly. What does it mean, JR? Circumspectly. Situationally aware. He used that the other day, too. He's smarter than I am. He uses these big words, situationally aware. It's being aware of what's around you. You're paying attention to what's going on around you. When I was a kid, the church that where I grew up going to church, there was about 7 acres there. We burned down at the bottom of a really nice steep hill. And because of that, we had a nice strip mode we could walk down. You could probably drive a couple of cars down there. And for PE, we would run around part of that 7 acres and we would run down that hill and back up. For a fat boy, that is a nightmare. Believe me, I hated that part of PE. The rest of it I loved, but I hated that. But that hill, it was steep. It was very steep. And one of my favorite things to do with that hill was take that little red wagon and sit in the little red wagon and hold the handle, and you know, fly down that hill. The first time I did that, I was not situationally aware, JR. I got down close, the key word, close to the bottom of that hill. I was still gaining speed, and there was a rock that I didn't see. I was probably going, don't laugh, that's not nice of you. Now I know where JR gets his mean streak from. I was going probably 75 miles, it felt like 75 miles an hour down that hill. And I hit with one of my tires on that, oh man, it hurt. I went flipping and flying, I was all over the place. I hurt so bad after that. It's important to be situationally aware. It's important to be aware of your surroundings. If you're going to go down a hill at a high rate of speed in a wagon, it's a good idea to know what's down there before you get there. That hurt. I was probably 16. Another story. This one I like to tell. I don't think the teenagers have heard this one yet. But I was driving. We had a big family. There were, with mom and dad, there were 16 of us. At one point, many of those were adopted, and we had fun. I did anyway, part of the time. Well, I had a group of sisters that decided they were going to go for a walk around the block, and fine, they'd do whatever they want. I wasn't thinking anything about it. Well, I walked outside, and there was a bike, I'm going to have some fun. I got on the bike. It was a 10-speed bike. It was not my bike, so I didn't normally ride it, but it was the one that was right there at that moment, and I had an idea right then at the same time, so I was going to use it. I got on that bike, and I got up as fast as I could go. Around the block, I come up behind him. My plan was to just stop and skid right behind him. That didn't work. What I was not aware of was that the back brakes didn't work. I was booking it too. I was moving. Well, I didn't even get a chance to start the skid. Didn't happen. I slammed on the brakes and I went flying. It just ejected me like a rocket. Well, the bike came with me because I wasn't smart enough to let go. So the bike came with me and I went flying. I kid you not, I completely cleared all of the girls' heads. Never touched them. I have no idea to this day how that happened. All I know is that it hurt really bad. I landed. They had to come bring the truck to scrape the bike and me off of the road when it was all done. I was not situationally aware. I did not know what was going on before I tried that stupid prank. It hurt really, really bad. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. We have to know, because if we're not, it's going to hurt. You're going to make decisions without wisdom, without being aware, without knowing what's going on around you. You're going to make decisions that are going to hurt. We can ask God for wisdom. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I think I got this in here somewhere, but I'm going to say it anyway. We can ask God for wisdom and completely ignore everything that's going on around us. And decide that I'm going to make my own decision, even after God has showed me the right decision to make because I asked for wisdom. And guess what? I'm going to land flat on my head because I didn't know the brakes weren't working. Yeah. Every single time. We have to be aware of our surroundings. Wisdom is being aware of what's going on around us all the time. Number four, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. How long do I? Oh, I got a few more minutes. And then, don't wave your arm yet. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Wisdom listens to godly counsel. Wisdom listens to godly counsel. Just being willing to listen to that godly counsel is wise in and of itself. Knowing that it's wisdom, knowing that what we're listening to is godly counsel, I should say, is wisdom. And by the way, that goes back to my second point, is knowing what those godly characteristics of wisdom are. You walk into work and somebody might be giving you wisdom, counsel, that sounds pretty good, right? I know what your boss said to you the other day. You know what you could do? You could really make his life miserable and then he'd straighten up a little bit. Sometimes that sounds pretty good. It really does. But knowing that that doesn't fit the characteristics of godly wisdom automatically should throw up a red flag and say, you know what? I can't follow that. I can't do that. I can't pay attention to that. And there are things that are a whole lot more subtle than something like that. There are some things that are very subtle, but if we pay attention, if we're aware and we're watching and we're listening, we know what godly counsel is. God puts people in our paths that have godly counsel. And I know I'm not talking to all teenagers. There's three teenagers in here tonight. But it's good to remember, even as adults, it's hard to ask for advice. Is it not? I don't like asking for advice because I might not want to follow it. That's just the truth. I'm stubborn, and my wife would probably agree with that. I don't like asking for advice, but God's put people in my life that I know I can trust as godly counselors, as people that I know that will have good, godly, sound wisdom that they can give me. Following that godly advice is wise in and of itself. Look for godly advice. Search for godly advice. Search for people that you know you can trust. Search for people that you know are in this book. We've got a good pastor. Amen. He can be ornery sometimes. But you know, I know he loves the Lord. And I have learned, how long have we been here? 8 years? Even she's got to think. 8 years, 9 years, somewhere in there. I've learned I can trust him. I can trust him. I've been places where I didn't know if I could or not. But Pastor Larson has earned my trust. If I've got a question, if I've got a big question, a life-changing question, and I've had a few of those since we've been here, I know I can ask him those questions. And it's wise. Even, it doesn't matter, I'm going to pick on the Garretts. It doesn't matter how old you are, Brother and Mrs. Garrett. It doesn't matter how old a person is. It's always wise to seek godly counsel. Amen. Always. Because there's some things that even an older person's not going to think about. I love the Garretts. They're good people. Brother Garrett gets me. Am I the only one he gets me every time when he shakes your hand? He always gets my fingers. And hello. Yeah. Let me grab your hand, Brother Garrett. Let me grab your hand. He gets me every time. And I'm never quick enough up here to remember to just reach out and grab it real quick. But anyway. Being wise listens to godly counsel. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the ministry. You're going to need godly counsel. It doesn't matter how long you've lived your life. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've been a parent. None of that matters. There will always be a time that you need that godly counsel and that godly advice. And being willing to seek that godly wisdom and godly counsel is wisdom in and of itself. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. This is my last point, and I'll be done. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. When we seek godly counsel, when we seek wisdom, when we're looking for wisdom, the only thing that we should be interested in is what takes us the direction that God wants us to go. There's always that direction I want to go. I wanted to go down that hill this way, and I should have gone down the hill that way. But I wasn't paying attention, and it was quite painful. When you seek wisdom and you follow the wisdom that has the godly characteristics that godly wisdom has, the wisdom that you receive, the wisdom that you follow, the wisdom that you are going down that path of, will never go against anything that God has for us. God will give us as much wisdom as we can possibly ask for, and more. When we follow that wisdom, we'll be in a place that we could never imagine. It'll be so good, it'll be so wonderful, it'll be so pleasant, because we followed God's wisdom. Take some time this week and ask for wisdom. Spend some time this week asking for wisdom. When you receive that wisdom, don't just shrug it off and forget about it. Follow the wisdom that God gives when it's asked for. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.